Welcome to the DBS Films Podcast, a behind-the-scenes look into making indie films. Learn from DBS Films about their process, tips, and fun stories that all come with
Everybody
making multiple
to the
movies
DBS
a reality.
Films Podcast. My name is Kellen, and with me, as always, is my brother Brendan. And together, we make movies with DBS Films. And today, we have just completed the principal production of our 11th movie. The working title right now is The Shapeshifter. And we wanted to go ahead. You heard our podcast last week on Thursday. That was the day before. This is literally the day of. We wrapped at about 8 a.m., I think, and then had to drive back. So this is basically real-time, you know, updates on finishing the movie. So, you know, let's just kind of hop right into it, Brendan. You know, I asked this question last week, and let's ask it again. How are you feeling?
I mean, I feel tired. My brain is really smooth right now. I'm trying to just, you know, get through the day so I could take a nap and sleep at night. But overall, I feel really good with this production. I thought the work that we put in pre-production really showed. I thought everyone was well prepared. There wasn't any major issues on set. I'd say it's up there. I don't know if it's our smoothest shoot, but it was up there. And I think it was definitely probably the most quality footage that we got for the amount of time we were on a location. So that's always good. I thought the coverage was really well done. I thought the actors were prepared. And I think instead of, you know, worrying about trying to hit the hour 15, hour 20 mark as far as length of the movie, this is the first one where I feel really confident we might be pushing an hour 30, which is good because then when I go into post-production, I can start to edit, you know, 15 minutes down from the movie, which anytime you have the option to edit and cut the movie down, you're going to make choices that just make the movie better, as opposed to trying to lengthen a movie to hit certain time requirements that are obviously in place by distribution companies.
I feel that same way too, but I think the thing I want to echo is I feel really, really good. That was, you know, like you said, I think it was the smoothest in the sense of what we had to do, actually, because going into this script, I was always like, this is a bold one. I mean, we said this was a wild card. This was a lot more effects. This is going back to the monster lore. This is doing a lot more locations. This is all of these things adding into one in the sense of being a much harder movie than The Girl in Cabin 13, which was basically two people, one cabin at night. Sure, now we basically have, you know, eight people, one cabin kind of at the nighttime, but we utilize the location to basically send a lot more production value versus the more basic ones. Also with the Haunting of the Murder House, we had me in a van, which we knew from the very beginning was going to be a pickup, and that eliminates about 20% of the movie. So it was a long shoot. I'm definitely tired as well, but man, I feel good. And I think one of the benefits I have, I'm in the editing bay. So I'm the one taking a look at this footage, you know, while you're just slaving with the camera all day and just kind of grinding yourself out. It's something where being able to actually see where we're at with the footage, I've seen the timeline, we have the rough there. I'm already calling it, it's our best movie yet. I mean, you know, again, it's definitely personal taste, but I've seen the past four movies we made in rough. I've seen what their finished product is. And this movie just moves. It goes fast, pacing is everything. And on top of that, like you said, we're going to hit that beautiful hour, 30 minute mark, which is going to just give us so much room for editing and whatnot. So, you know, let's talk about, do you think this is going to be a good movie? Let's go back to that question. How are you feeling about that, the quality of it?
I mean, looking at the rough, it's definitely, you know, I'm definitely hopeful. I think the difference is, you know, just learning how to properly pace a movie. And I think that Girl in Cabin 13 was a turning point. I think we expanded that on Murder House. But Murder House is kind of a cheat because we did that movie before, which was because there's a 2.0 version of Suicide House. So we already had an idea of like pacing and what scenes worked and what scenes didn't. This was a 1.0 version of a concept. This is probably the second least confident script I've been in, the first one being Devil in the Room. So I really didn't feel comfortable at any point with this script. It took a ton of rewrites. I still think there is about a 15 page you know, stretch of the script in the middle of it that, you know, could be, you could essentially make or break the movie. But I don't think that's too much of an issue after shooting it. I, you know, looked at the timeline, all the pop scares hit, you know, our beats are hitting. There's more characters in here and there's more dynamic characters. So I think it's more of a fun movie. I think the first act is a little campy. So I think people who enjoy 70s and 80s style horror movies are kind of get a kick out of this. The second act, it gets really serious. And then the third act, you know, just goes, you know, goes off the rails as far as like things get really crazy. All this stuff starts happening. So we have a really good buildup and lead up to a climax, which is essentially we took what we learned in Girl in Cabin 13 and that like 12, 15 minute climax at the end with Chloe running through the woods, and we replicated it here. But I think we did possibly a much better job with it just because, you know, we had the ability to go back and look at Girl in Cabin 13. We had the ability to, you know, change some things up and just make it better.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. You know, it's something that we always say here. The most powerful thing you can give yourself is just the experience of doing the movie, because, you know, I wouldn't really say there's too much different off of the structure than, you know, the Murder House and the Girl in Cabin 13 for just kind of how the story paces and moves. But what we did is we took, you know, a basic version with Girl in Cabin 13, kind of made it a little bit more advanced with Murder House. And then to me, we're continuing to take a step in that right direction, adding more characters, adding more depth to these characters, and basically understanding how the pacing works best, you know, when it comes to what works with Girl in Cabin 13, what we're seeing now with Murder House. And it really is, to me, something that I don't think we did anything different with this movie. I just think we did everything better. That's almost kind of my takeaway, is I don't think there's anything special or unique in the sense of the story or, like, you know, what we were pulling off, but the pure tactical shooting and pacing maneuvers that we did allowed us to really kind of make a big milestone. I mean, I really do think that this is a different level when it comes to it. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to give you credit again, because now this is your third film. This is your third film that you've basically filmed your entire self. And with that capability, I already see these shots. You know, I'm seeing your improvement going, which is a really cool part of it. You did a fantastic job on this. And really, to me, you know, I do think once we get that final product, we're going to be very surprised. This is something I've dealt with all of our movies. Every single time you're done with the shoot, it's like, how is it? Oh, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. Why? It's better to be pessimistic. It's better to understand you're going to compromise. But with that being said, I think we got a really, really good one. So I'm happy to openly talk and brag about the amazing job that you did on that one. Also, another thing I want to highlight, the cast, the crew. I think we had a fantastic team this time. I mean, realistically, you know, we've always say we had great teams and whatnot, because it is make or break. This is not an individual effort. You know, as much as we're doing a lot of the main tasks there, we need an entire team to come together to make this a reality. And not only did we have a fantastic team with Tyler, Chloe, Dylan, Stephanie, Roger, Reggie, and our super fan Aries, and then also myself and Alex, of that we had two people who haven't been on a DBS set. The rest was recurring or returning cast. And I think I want you to kind of talk about two things that really highlighted a different change to me. Having them know what our sets are like when it comes to just the filming, the pacing, how it operates, and then the second part, how we gave them, you know, a lot more like, hey, what would your character say? What would you do? And I think that really shined in the downbeats for this production.
Yeah, I think anytime, you know, you work with an actor the second time, you just have a comfort level. And our sets are completely different than any other production that you're ever going to, you know, witness or see. If you're an actor, you'll be shooting maybe one or two pages a day. You might have to stick to the script like it's gospel, where you come on our set. And I think we probably had multiple shoot days. I'll have to go back and look at my records, but there are probably multiple shoot days that were 15 pages long. So we're doing almost 15 times as much work in one day than you do on a normal set. So that can be daunting for actors, but if you know, you prepare for it and you understand what it is, you can get that momentum and, you know, you can get a real natural performance. So obviously, you know, knowing what you're getting into and knowing how to execute and preparing yourself mentally for working on a DBS set definitely helps out. But I really just think it's the comfort level. You know, working with all these actors before, they kind of knew my style. They knew what I was trying to get. And usually when we start with new actors, they're very shy. They're used to just, you know, sticking to the script. And, you know, the character that's in the script is the character that they're going to try and portray. And I'm completely different, where as long as you're hitting the beats in the script that I want to hit, you have freedom to change your lines and manipulate your character and try and add in different things and just give me different variations. And I'm really stressed this on this shoot is, you know, we do one or two takes where you stick to the script and then give me like a wild card. So for example, when working with Howard Aries, who's the super fan, he came in and he was super well prepared. He knew all his lines. He knew his character. Working with him on pre-production was great. You know, I sent him a whole bunch of clips. He watched the clips. He watched the movies. He understood his character. He had really good questions that we addressed in pre-production. So when he came on set, you know, he just killed it. But what really was cool about working with Howard was we did the script as it was written three or four times. And then I was like, hey, let's, you know, start to do some improv. And when it comes to improv, I'm just looking for different variations. You know, your job as an actor on a DBS set is to give me as much quality content as you possibly can so that I can make decisions when I'm editing the movie. Because I'm just not at the skill level now where I can see something on set and be like, that is the take that I want to use. And honestly, I don't think that's ever possible, which is why you see David Fincher and like Christopher Nolan do 40 or 60 takes. So they have that, you know, footage when they get to editing. But back to Aries, essentially, he started improv and his stuff was just absolutely phenomenal. It was just, he took a script and he made it his own. He made the character his own. And when you're going to watch this guy's performance, you're really going to see, you know, someone who took the time in pre-production, took the time to learn the character and understand the character and then make it their own. And you, when that all happens, you get a very natural performance and a very, very good performance, and a performance that I, you know, me as a director is looking for. And so I think we had a lot of that on this set where, you know, having a comfort level of working with me before, you know, obviously I've learned from my mistakes and my communication style has improved, but I think everyone who worked on this set, I think it was by far the best cast we've ever had in any DBS film.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that's exactly how I feel too. I mean, you know, it really is something where the hardest part about this was just the pure amount of footage we had to do. There was never any little friction point. And as someone who's been through 11 movies, no matter what it might be, you know, it could be a multitude of different things. It could be any part of the cast. It could be any one actor. It could be anyone, you know, light, camera, any of those things. There could be a slight issue. And when that issue occurs, it can derail a set just for a good amount of time. To me, this was something where we always knew what we needed to do. We were always doing. The hard part was just we were doing a lot. And because of this team that we had, we were able to continually power through it. And I mean, everyone, every single day was ready to go, you know, and it goes back to what you were saying. I do think just like with anything, you work together better the more you do it. And especially when you break down that kind of first barrier of, you know, it's just a new person. You're being told, you know, being an actor on a completely different set. I first off, you know, acting is one of the hardest things as someone who attempts to do it every once in a while when we need me in my or in the movies. It's incredibly tough, and going on some place where you don't know these people, you don't know anyone, and you know, as you mentioned, people might be like, no, I want you to say it like this, this is how I had it in my mind. All of these things I feel like can be really daunting and hard for someone to just kind of hop right into. So having an entire movie done, you know, by those last few days in the first movie, you're pretty warmed up. You have a bunch of inside jokes. You know, you can be blunt with them, knowing that you're not going to hurt their feelings because they understand the project. And, you know, they can be blunt with you. And it's like, why would you say that line? And we're like, yes, exactly. That is not a line that, you know, we should be saying. And in my experience acting, it's really hard when you try and force something that you wouldn't say, and it's just much easier just saying something that you would. So having it, it really is that win-win. You know, we trust our actors, we trust our teams that they're going to go ahead and, you know, as long as, like you said, they hit the beats, then we can kind of explore. And there's a bunch of those really, really good takes in there. Like, that's one of my favorite things, is going through each one of the takes and being able to pull out those things. And then, I mean, honestly, Howard, like, absolutely amazing. This is Howard is a testament to why we will always look to cast from our Discord, from our super fans, from our community, because he was incredibly professional. He was super helpful the entire time. He was just absolutely amazing to work with. And you want to know what? That's how you get brought back. That is exactly how, as an actor, you get brought back on set, by just being someone who's incredibly good at just being part of the set and the team, and then showing up prepared. This was, I mean, I'm sure it was very nerve-wracking for Howard, but when I was watching the first few takes, I actually saw him in the first two takes. I was like, I got everything I need. And then I had to go back to work on something else. But in those two takes, I actually stepped out, because I was like, literally in the first two takes, he got it. And then now going back, taking a look at it, it's amazing to see how much he warms up to it. And, you know, like you said, you can already get the actors in that range. And, you know, with that being said, we did have Tyler and Dylan, who worked with us in The Hunt in the Murder House, Chloe, who was Sunny with the girl in Cabin 13. So, you know, a full shoot, you're definitely very, very warmed up in the sense of just establishing a relationship and a friendship where you can kind of have these dialogues. And that's just, again, a shout out to Stephanie, who was the new lead actress with us that we worked with. And just basically, you know, her ability to hop on and immediately, you know, join us, in the sense of, it's a pretty unique experience. I like to think it's fun. You know, we try and really make it so that the momentum, and it's light on set, and those things can really help in the movie. So I really saw that being, you know, by far the best set that we've had. We were able to accomplish a ton of things, and you know, I'm really, really happy to be part of that team, because, man, it was something where, huge props to them. So just wanted to shout them out. With that being said, you know, you mentioned the pre-production was something that really paid a lot of dividends going into the process. You did do a lot of additional work this time in certain areas. Walk me through kind of, you know, how we were able to see that pay off when it comes to just how we were able to manage the workload of this production.
Well, there is, like, pretty much three main things that I really wanted to try and work on in this production. You know, the first was just really doing pre-production to make sure that everyone understood their character and what I was trying to get. I really wanted to make sure that if there are any issues with the lines, or if there are any issues with character development, you know, we address these issues pretty much a month before shooting. So this was essentially three touches with the actors. I had the two Zoom meetings, one-on-one. The first one was just talking about top level character development. The second was talking about the dialogue for the character. And the third was the table read. A lot of the actors were local in Orlando, so we had a table read in my office. And then the people that were not local, we had a table read via Zoom. So I think that helped out a lot, because we were on the same page. In my scripts, if you ever see one of my scripts, I have comprehensive notes to myself. I have comprehensive notes to the actors. I have comprehensive notes to myself as a DP. And I just put that all in the document so that everybody could see it. So when we do go on the, you know, onto that shot, my concerns and what I'm trying to look for in a performance is already on the page in bold and italicized letters. The second thing I really wanted to work on, you know, was just, you know, working with these actors to try and get a different variations on what they're saying. I think in The Murder House, we had a ton of coverage and we had a ton of, you know, angles, which made it really good in editing. It was the first movie that I thought that I had, you know, enough coverage to edit the movie to the pace that I wanted. The problem was the dialogue was the same for every single take. So we'd have three or four different takes, but the dialogue was the same. There's no different variation. This one, you know, made it very clear to the actors that, you know, the last two takes are for you to improvise. They're essentially wild cards. And this works for some actors. We had an actor on set who played Roger, who's sort of like a wild card character in himself. And I had done extensive pre-production with him on saying, look, I don't care how you get there, but these are the beats I want you to hit. You know, how you hit these marks is up to you. And he really took that character and made it his own. I thought the performance was absolutely fantastic. But, you know, you look at the other actors, they started doing that as well, where they were just, you know, hitting the beats that I needed to hit, but each take was a little bit different. They gave me a little bit of different variation, which is going to be cool to edit this movie down because it just gives me more options, more stuff to choose from, which I think in the end is going to, you know, just make a better product. And the third thing, which is I was trying to be as extremely transparent as possible in this process. You know, I brought up immediately my concerns with the script. There's about 15 pages in the middle that I just thought were, you know, the danger zone. I didn't think they were very good. I got feedback from the actors. Got feedback from a whole bunch of different people. And so I was just, my concerns were just brought up in the script, and I essentially, you know, put all my concerns in the script just to try and create an open environment, get their feedback. And a lot of actors that worked on this project provided great feedback. And I think we addressed a lot of the issues, but I think that was a big thing, was just bringing up the problems that I foresaw, seeing this was my 11th film, you know, to them in a transparent way and saying, look, I don't have all the answers. I don't know how to fix this, but, you know, keep it in your head. So when we're acting, you guys are doing this scene, you know, these pitfalls that we might potentially fall into, you know, you're aware of, so they can, you know, subconsciously maybe try and avoid them, or they could give me feedback in pre-production, or they could give me feedback, you know, when we're actually shooting it, to try and avoid the problems that we had in other movies.
Yeah, you definitely shined a lot when it came to just their flexibility. You know, Roger did a fantastic job. Or Ben playing Roger did a fantastic job, because like he really took that character, and that was one of the characters where we knew what we wanted, but like it's hard to just put that pen to paper in the sense of what that actually looks like. And his flexibility, his different takes, I mean, already editing his stuff anytime he's on camera, it's gonna make it interesting. Again, the number one rule, you know, don't make it boring. So that's really going to be a huge asset. And then it allowed a lot of the other actors to continue to push that. And I think that really heightened a lot of the slower beats, which was, again, that 15 pages you were concerned of. To me, overall, the way I look at kind of the, you know, how we set up the story, the pacing, and just everything with the script, I really feel like we were so comfortable with what we knew worked, that it was only a matter of where we put it, in the sense of where do we put this, you know, scene here, this spook or this pop scare. And then it allowed us to actually focus on, you know, what was a kind of a better dynamic. And the reason I bring this up is I feel like this is one of the first movies that I think, again, I'm getting the hints of it right now. Hopefully it continues, but hey, we got the footage, so it's not like we can really change it too much. I'm pretty confident that we're going to look at this movie and be like, wow, that was the first movie we actually executed on downbeats that were funny, that were able to, you know, again, you said it might be a little bit campy, but we're starting to understand our audience. And I think the audience that likes us, you know, our super fans, our Discord, I'm really starting to say, I think these are going to be good things that are going to hit when it comes to that horror genre. And I think the reason because of it is, you know, we spent a ton of time kind of on like, what is, you know, a little funny. Okay, so he doesn't have the bed and the closet open. Like, just there's a whole bunch of little things that I feel like we gave it the additional time. So really, when I look at it, it was something where, because we knew what would work and we were confident in those areas, you know, we were able to say, hey, how do we make these, you know, downbeats better? How do we focus on that 15 minutes? You know, we were worried about it, like you said, but because we were focused on it, and that was an issue that we were saying, not versus like the pop scares or anything, we were able to kind of flush it out. So do you think we were, you know, able to provide more attention to the things that we knew were lacking, and that's just simply why they were better this time around?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's, you know, I can look at a scene now and I can be like, all right, this is going to be a problem. So I bring it up to the actors, but I try and write it in a creative way. To give you an example, the opening scene of this movie is done via dialogue that's kind of clever, and they're hard cuts where each character is having a phone conversation with each other. So I could have done this where they all meet up and they're like, hey, we're going to the cabin, you know, for the weekend. This is my character. This is what I'm trying to accomplish. You know, show some of this stuff. And then we hard cut to like a drone montage. And that would have been fine, but it would have been boring. It wasn't as clever as it could have been. This one is done through all hard cuts of a phone conversation with clever dialogue that could be interlinked together. And, you know, it's just something where it just turned out a lot better than just a regular downbeat. So understanding how to, you know, when, you know, you have issues with certain scenes and certain scenes can be problems, just being able to look at them and be like, all right, this could be a problem. Let's give it a little bit more attention or try and find something clever or something better to do than a normal downbeat. Just provides more production value and just makes a better movie. I think a lot of this stuff, as far as like harder cuts and, you know, just either a funnier moment or just something more clever in these downbeats, allows the movie to be paced properly and just gives a little bit more value to the movie in it, in general, in itself.
Yeah. I mean, you know, really being able to kind of focus on just one element that you can at least attach to with the funny aspect of it to some degree, and just focus on at least a single moment in the dialogue to kind of spice it up, I think really does help out with kind of pacing everything. To me, one of the things that I noticed, you know, just starting to edit now, and I think this goes back to one thing we mentioned, is this was the best paced script. I think one of the best reasons for that is because it had so many hard cuts to it. And I think we started to understand, especially in the murder house, because we had four people we could cut back to, how you can actually use that to play in a lot of the action scenes. And we simply applied that to the cabin. But also on top of that, you know, we understood, how do you have a character like Roger who's going to, you know, just increase the, you know, he can be tense and he can be funny as well too. Same thing almost kind of with Joe and Officer Hawk. All of those characters kind of apply a little more interest than your standard dialogue scene. So I do think, you know, if you look at the characters, this is the most depth that our leads have had for the most part. And then also the side characters too. So do you think after seeing how it's already playing off, this is going to be something that, you know, just changes our view on how to pace a script, how to write a script? Like, I really think we're starting to see, okay, this does pay off if we do it, you know, X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's just, you know, like working with actors, like you mentioned before, at this point, I like to keep the majority of the actors, you know, the majority of actors that we use on a new production, ones that I've worked with before, and then slowly bring on new people. And I think it's the same thing with the script. I'd like to use scenes that I've done before as a majority of the script and then just kind of add new stuff in there to work with. So, and also like looking at indie stuff, the hardest thing for an indie production is to really get that like deep, almost like theme or just mood of the movie, because that requires production design. It requires really good shooting. It requires really good acting. For indie productions, I almost starting to look at it now. It's just like, make sure it's paced properly and make sure you have funny downbeats and engaging content. As far as like the more boring scenes, if you do them in clever and creative ways, yeah, you do kind of get like a little campy feel to it, but it's much easier to achieve than getting something that's just super dark and foreboding. Because that just, it takes a lot of talent to do that. I don't think we're at that level yet. So it's just easier for us to pace stuff properly, move it fast. And if we have downbeats, have them in clever and creative ways, or just give them, you know, a little bit of humor in there to just keep the scenes moving forward. Cause once again, the most important thing for a movie, especially if you're looking at distribution deals, is your pacing, is making sure that people get into the movie, they get hooked and they watch it all the way to the end.
So, you know, overall, now that we've been through like the production process for this one, what were you kind of maybe like one thing we did good and one thing you want to focus on for the next future?
Yeah, I mean, I think we did, obviously the pre-production of this movie was on point. And I feel really good with the you know, just working with the actors ahead of time to make sure that they understand what they're trying to do and trying to get variation in the script. I think you're going to see more natural dialogue in this one. You know, I think we're going to see just a faster paced script with, you know, just better pacing all around. So I think, you know, the one thing I'd say we still have to, you know, fix up is special effects and, you know, practical effects. I thought the mask was good that we used in this one. The main problem was it didn't have because it's supposed to be like a creature feature. The look of the mask was very dry. And I think we're going to have to end up picking up a lot of shots with, you know, covering this mask in blood or Vaseline or some kind of thing to give it like a shiny alien-esque look. I wasn't very happy with the look from the mask that we achieved. And I just think the blood and the special effects and, you know, really making something gritty, you know, will take us to the next level. We have a lot of cool shots. We have a lot of cool stabbing scenes. We have a lot of blood. We have a lot of gore. And I think the majority of it is done very well, but you really want to get those scenes that kind of give you like, you know, get the hair to raise on, you know, your arm. You're like, oh, that's just gritty. Or you get you to really like queasy and, you know, just feel a level of disgust that you want to feel in the horror movie. Cause I think it just raises the tension and really gets your adrenaline going and gets you involved in the movie. And I think that, you know, looking back on, I think this movie has a lot of good stuff. It has a lot of, you know, really good pacing, but I think the special effects and practical effects of this one to really push it and really make it essentially pop is what we should look for in the 2.0 version, the Shapeshifter script, you know, pending that people like this story, they like what we're trying to do. And obviously we can market and sell it to distribution companies.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have the same mindset when it comes to those two things. You know, the first one is I was always nervous about this one because it was a ton of stuff we had to film. But with that being said, you know, it really is something where I think because of the pre-production that we were able to do, we were able to really execute. And honestly, anytime you're able to take away from just the stress of running out of time allows you to focus more time back into making the video better, to get that coverage, to try those things. I mean, you know, the whole week we were basically sorting out pickup shots that we knew we needed to get. And we were able to go ahead and basically get the principal done and then pick up those few shots that I think are really going to play. Like, I'm really excited for the pickups we were able to get, because just seeing, for instance, we had one where, you know, the shapeshifter breaks in and there's a fight scene. We literally picked up like three different types of angles and falls. And to me, it just took that scene to the next level. So I think because we were able to have a smoother production, because we're understanding the timing of everything, I think we're just going to start being able to focus more on just how it looks versus, you know, just getting something on film. And then for the, you know, one thing that I think we do need to work on, it definitely is the special effects ones to me. It's one of the bigger ones for me. But with that being said, it's not in any way that we don't have good special effects on this one. It's just, it's a horror movie. You know, you really do need to overcommit to either a CGI or a gore. I mean, I think really that's honestly the only element I think we're missing. And again, the reason we're missing it is because it's going to greatly increase the budget. I mean, that's just what it requires to have those good scares. And the more, you know, people that watch our movies and show us that it's worth it, the easier it would be to easily plug some type of, you know, CGI or practical effect that really put the time and effort into it to get those few scenes, really take it to the next level. With that being said, you know, I'm perfectly fine with having that being the issue, because that's an issue where as we continue to scale, we can just easily, you know, add into it. And hopefully, you know, we'll see the results from Girl in Cabin 13, from Murder House. It just gives us more confidence to, you know, invest into the films, because special effects are not cheap. You know, it takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of work, and it can easily eat up an indie budget. You know, there's a reason I wouldn't recommend a sci-fi movie ever, because before you know it, you're just going to end up spending so much more than you would ever think to get something that actually looks good. And I'm excited for that part, but I think that's something I'm going to continue to keep our mind on. And, you know, I really push us to try and do with our next movie. One thing I wanted to highlight, just kind of going through the rough side of everything, and this will probably be the last thing we touch on. I was really looking forward to how this was going to play out because of the increase in production value that I think comes from shooting in the woods. And I think it's something we learned with Girl in Cabin 13 really well. By the time we finished Girl in Cabin 13, we already had filmed, or we already had the script and everything for The Haunting of the Murder House. And I think, to me, if I look at those past two movies, if I look at Girl in Cabin 13, I think it looked really good. I think it was, you know, really well shot. I think the biggest issue was the plot. And I think the beginning pacing was a little bit slow, but I don't really think there was a story or a plot. When I look at The Haunting of the Murder House, I see a movie that has a good story. It has a good plot. It moves. I'm really excited. I still think it's the best one. I still think it is a good step up from Girl in Cabin 13. But I think the big drawback with it is it's just in a dark house the whole time. And you don't really jump around. Sure, you go to the van every once in a while, but you're kind of cramped. I think what's really unique about this one is it's basically taking what we learned from Girl in Cabin 13 and simply applying it to what we learned in The Haunting of the Murder House. I think that just goes back to showing you the best thing you can possibly do as a filmmaker is complete a finished product.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Girl in Cabin 13 looked good. And I mean, I personally spent a lot of pre-production time, you know, studying different shots to really try and take the cinematography to the next level with this one. I thought Girl in Cabin 13, you know, did a lot of things really well. It had a really cool cabin, had a good look to it. And I think The Murder House is a good looking movie. It just has very flat lighting because I use a lot more realistic lighting in that one. And the whole house is boarded up, so there's really not much you can do. So looking back on that one, you know, and moving forward to this one, I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to light this so it looks really good. And I don't think anyone's going to, it's going to be a good split test because I want to see if people are like, oh, you know, that lighting is not very realistic because, you know, obviously like you're in the woods and you have to light people properly and it's essentially the moon. But I don't think people are going to care. I think people are looking at an image and they want to see something that looks really, really good. And all of the shots in this movie are really, really good. And we took the time, even if it is one location, to essentially, you know, we utilized the fire pit scene. We utilized the outdoor woods. We really did a good job of shooting inside the cabin to make it look dynamic. We shot in different locations. We have the front of the cabin, the back of the cabin, different rooms. And just like looking at the rough footage that Kel is putting together, everything looks really, really good. So I'm really hoping that this is just a big jump in our cinematography and our lighting. And it's just going to look like a much higher quality movie. I used a lot of, you know, longer lenses. We shot this, this movie on the majority of the 50, which is essentially the closest thing you can replicate to a human eye. So you have like really good bokeh, you have like the blurred out background. It looks really cinematic. And I just did a lot of, you know, pre-production time on you just focus on framing and lighting and just trying to make this to cheat it on our budget and make it look as much like a Hollywood or a high level of production as possible, you know, running with the two light setup or the one light setup that we usually run with, because we don't have the budget to, you know, actually light like a whole location.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that is going to really shine through. And then also, you know, the quick cuts and the pacing and everything that we learned from The Murder House going through the rough edit, I think that's really going to apply. So the last thing I really wanted to highlight, you know, I think another thing that's different here, and I'm going to point back to it, I think one of the biggest milestones ever is going to be when we started forming the DBS super fans in the community. Because I think one of the most valuable things that I learned, and I'm curious to see what you think about this, from the community and the Discord, and more importantly, the reviews we're getting back from The Murder House, and also the feedback we get from TikTok is, you know, we're not necessarily our audience. You know, we want to tell stories and like we do like these movies, but there's a lot of things like you're saying, like, are people going to notice the lighting because it's in the woods? Are people going to care about this or care about that? Do you almost think you have a different mindset now? Because I really feel like after getting the feedback and after getting those things, if you would have asked me the same question about something like the first few movies, I would have said, oh, no way, that like doesn't work. Whereas now I'm like, nope, that is perfect. That's exactly what we need to do. You know, we need to go over the top with this. We need to explain it. Like, I almost feel like we're starting to be more blunt with what our audience likes. And, you know, that benefit comes from having the community, having the ability to have the feedback.
Well, I think in, you know, my experience with just owning and operating multiple businesses, the first step is to find your audience, you know, find the people that really like your product, that can give you, you know, good feedback on your product and allow you to, that allows, essentially allows you to work with them to make a product better, so that you can essentially mass market it. And I think for the first time we found our audience. This is the first time with like Girl in Cabin 13 and Murder House and this one where I'm actively making a movie for the people who like our stuff and that will enjoy this movie. And is it going to be a perfect, you know, Hollywood cinematic, beautiful movie with, you know, these crazy lights and crazy setups? No, but it's going to be a fast-paced movie that looks good and has a lot of action in it, you know, has a lot of cool characters in it. And, you know, the people who like indie horror movies are going to enjoy these movies. And that's my target demographic. I love indie horror movies. I love indie horror fans. I love what's happening in the Discord. I love everyone, you know, that's out there, you know, supporting us. Essentially, these movies are for you. And yeah, you have my utmost respect. And I really enjoy everything that I see coming from all the community engagement. So, you know, moving forward, the movies and the choices that I make are all for you guys. You know, this is what we want. We want to keep this fan base and we want to cultivate this fan base and we want to get better, you know, all together, all at once.
That's exactly what I was looking to hear, because man, it is amazing seeing how it is growing. And like you said last week, you know, it was kind of nerve-wracking. Like, we wanted to make a good movie for them. We wanted to, you know, make them proud that they're supporting DBS Films and doing everything they do. And I'm so happy with this product that we have, because I know they're going to absolutely love it. You know, again, everyone has their own tastes and opinions, but realistically what we're seeing is understanding, you know, getting that feedback, being able to cultivate it. And it really is something where, you know, the more you guys support us, the more we want to basically make these products for you. You know, you're the one that's making it possible for us to make movies and continue to do this. So that's really what the big shift has been for me is, you know, it was kind of an isolated thing with, you know, filmmaking and those things, whereas now we're really building such a community. We have all these people. They're very excited. They already want to see this movie. And just to have that, it's super motivational. So do you want to just touch on that, you know, how that's kind of affected your outlook? I know you're already saying, I think we can pop another one off in July, but how's kind of knowing that we're building this community and we're building this fan base allow us to basically take these risks and continue production, knowing that we might, you know, have this baseline we can actually grow off of?
Well, it gives me motivation because I can't quit. I essentially don't have an out now. I'm stuck in this and I'm going to have to do it for the rest of my life. But that's not a bad thing. And, you know, just to give you an example of this, I drove home today. I had three actors in my car. We went back to my place. And the first thing that we all did, and if you're in the Discord, you'll see it. All the actors went and signed up for the Discord and started interacting with fans. And this is literally, I mean, it took us 2 hours to get home, but the first thing they started to do was sign up and start interacting with our fans because they love that community. You know, for the 8 days or 9 days that we were on set, all we talked about was the community, but because we didn't have Wi-Fi or even a phone signal out there, they couldn't really see what we were doing. The minute they got back, they all signed up for the Discord. They followed us on all our social media stuff. And they immediately started interacting with our community. And I think that's, you know, what Kel's built and, you know, everyone in the community is we're a community focused, you know, indie horror film studio. You know, we're not going to push you away. We're not going to be too pretentious. We're like, look, this is the process. These are the mistakes that we're making. This is what we do well. But you know, if you want to talk to one of the actors, hop in the Discord and send them a message. You know, they love that. They answer questions. You know, you can send me a message. I came back and I had a whole bunch of DMs and I'm going through them now. And I'm answering a whole bunch of questions from fans or just interacting with people. And I think that, you know, making movies is cool. It's a great process, but it doesn't need to be like this Hollywood elite, you know, kind of thing where, you know, actors are above everyone else. I'm the same as everybody else. The actors are the same as everybody else. And I value your feedback. They value your feedback. And we just really want to just, we want to grow and get better together.
Yep. I mean, that really sums it up well for me. And I will say this, Discord community. Wow. Talk about someone that you need to thank. That's going to be Howard. That's going to be Aries. Because the level he stepped up to the plate when it comes to how great he was to work with, how awesome he was when it comes to just being about it, it proved my point home, which is the people we want to continue to work with is our community. We are going to have people that are passionate about these projects because they're already passionate about us. And, you know, I want to touch on this one last thing before we go. It's going to be easy for us to cast people once we get to those next levels, you know, a zombie feature, those things, being on set, you guys supporting us right now. I will never forget, because this is when we need your support. This is when we needed the support. And if you're listening to this podcast 5, 10, 15 years down the road, and you know, who knows what's going to happen, but if we get to the level that we know we can get to, if we continue to work, and we have to work because there's no way out, like you said, we're going to make sure that we never forget about these fans, especially the ones right now, especially the fans that we work with. So, you know, talk about real quick, just, you know, how we're going to reward everyone that's helping us right now, because again, this is the most powerful thing in my opinion that we have.
Well, I mean, I think Howard's just, you know, he did such a great job, but it makes me so much more comfortable to cast from the super fans, because it just comes back to, I want to work with passionate people. You know, right now as an indie filmmaker, obviously we don't have the budget for, you know, the best of the best. So give me the people who are passionate about this, who will give it their heart and soul. And honestly, I would take a Howard over, you know, some big name actor who wants their own trailer and is, you know, fussy about things that we do on set. Howard was out there at 5 a.m. in the middle of a tick infested forest, holding a light bulb and lens for me that he didn't even need to do that. He could have just left. And he's out there in the middle of this creepy woods in this crazy set because I needed a couple more shots. And he's right there by my side helping me. Like, that's passion. And, you know, I can't thank him enough for that, because we are short staffed. We run with a skeleton crew, and to have him out there, you know, standing by my side, willing to put in work after he just killed a performance, you know, tells me all I need to know about him as, you know, an actor and his passion and project, and also, you know, him as a human being. So if we can cast those people and get those people who are highly passionate about these projects in essentially our community, you know, sign me up, man. I will put everyone in a film. Trust me, I will do it. If this is the passion and commitment and drive that we're getting from this community, you know, sign me up. I will take everyone. I will get everyone in a movie. You know, it's not a problem.
At all. It's not a problem to make fanfics. We have someone writing a book about the happy haunting, or the haunting of the happy life of Kellen. Like, we have all of these things. We have a Minecraft server that we featured in the movies. Like, I really do think this is something where, as it continues to grow, as it continues to flourish and develop, it's only going to get better. And, you know, really, this is such a testament to everyone who's been part of it and your support that we're getting. We're only going to just get started. You know, the reason why we're both wanting to go to sleep really bad right now, but we decided, hey, we need to stay up so we could talk to everyone out there who is listening. You know, all the supporters we have now, it's just so important to us. And I think you guys are really going to be proud of this 11th movie of ours. So with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. Join us for the next episode. We're going to go actually day by day in each one of the shoots, give you an idea about it, but we're really going to try and capture a lot of the production things. You know, again, anytime you go through a production process, it's quite the grind. The brains are kind of a little bit, you know, smooth, as we say. And on top of that, we haven't even really dissected a lot of the footage. So we're going to continue to have these updates when it comes to our 11th movie, but we're also going to continue to have these weekly podcasts as well. So if you're just listening now, be sure to join us for later episodes. But until then, have a good one.